This is Culture Club HDX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber.
Episode 102 of Culture Club HDX.
What kind of episode is this going to be? Do we know?
Rowdy.
Okay.
Well, the first part's going to be rowdy. The rest is pretty civilized.
I'm going to start saying I'm going to be rowdy. I like that word.
Well,
I like the word.
You want rowdy. An intention? That's my intention.
Rowdy.
Today.
All right.
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi.
Rowdy.
The fashionista. Bio babe. Which means biography, not biology. And I don't have one because it's us in this segment. And Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who never walked a sideline. And this is Coach Nelson's Corner.
Whoop, whoop.
And I'm here with my beautiful, brilliant, best, blacker each week, bossier each week co-host.
You know what? I receive all of that. You're welcome.
You may have it all. It's the truth.
Hey, the sweet truth. Shavonna Robert Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world. Oh, you know what? Since it's March Madness, also University of Arizona Hall of Fame basketball non-player.
Yeah.
And the parliamentarian of our show. Let's see how
Let's start with March Madness because that's something we thought we were going to have to edit out. And we have to talk about my bracket. Which is so fantastic.
Okay.
So, you know, everybody remembers that I wanted to do brackets for professional basketball.
We do.
Which, not knowing what brackets are, I didn't realize the bracket goes to the end of the season. I thought a bracket was each phase, you know, like each phase.
We all remember.
Right, yeah.
So you are still
playing
in success.
So I did the outside columns of the
bracket. And then waited to see who won and then did the second one.
So my winners from the first... The first, the 31st, it was 64 to 32. Is that what it went to?
I don't believe this.
They're still in it.
Who are they?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Wait, they're here. I brought them.
She has a newspaper, folks.
So this is where you get to know that we're actually recording
Real deal,
on
Holy
Thursday.
Phil.
No, because they're going to start playing tonight, I think, or... Yeah, the women play tonight.
The women play tonight.
So for this is men's. I did not do women's, but the final four... are Illinois, UConn, Michigan, and Arizona. And I had
Bear
them all
down. Going
in
to
the
final
first
four?
Round.
No, oh.
That is the final four. That is who is in the
Everybody final. Had them in the first round.
Everybody but, did not.
Who, okay.
Not
those are the top
the
seed.
We still need to work on
brackets. Bracketology, our bracketology course. So I must confess, I tried to do a bracketology tutorial with Lovely, and I failed.
Well, because, she did a tutorial, but she failed to say this is, we have to do all the columns.
Okay. That's what I mean. I failed. This is on me, folks. Blame me. But yeah, okay. So the most important team that you named out of those four is the University of Arizona. And I had the opportunity to go to the Final Four, but I got a lot going on, so I did not go. But my three friends are going, like my three besties from Arizona. So I'm sure we'll
be. I can't believe you're not going. It's Monday night, right?
Yeah. It's just,
well,
just
if y'all make it.
So we play Saturday. We did make it. We play.
At the time of this recording.
Well, you're, this Final Four
is Saturday.
Start
Saturday.
But hopefully they'll play Monday.
Yeah,
in the
and
final.
I just, it's like too many things happening, so I can't do that. But anyway, so I will be, our text thread will be popping, as the young people say. Do young people still say that? Magical popping. Because I had on the shirt in the airport yesterday and people kept saying they bear down and all these things. And I sent them, I was like, people love, you know, everyone's rooting for Arizona because they're smart humans. The ones who talk to me anyway. Anyway.
Yeah. I doubt that anybody came running over to you that wasn't.
Yeah. Why?
However, wait,
anyway.
Can we just talk about this for just a second?
What?
Let's talk about our Cougs. Magical. Speak up, please.
Speak up, Magical.
Just a little about the Cougs, because
yeah. We can talk about them.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Don't sound so sad.
It didn't end like how we hoped, with a Sweet 16 exit to eventual Final Four participant, Illinois. It was the offense. The offense struggled down the stretch. They couldn't get a basket towards the end, and that was kind of their Achilles heel throughout a lot of the season. It's just you don't know if they can generate points.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they couldn't generate enough points.
Well, this is the thing about...
enough offense, I should say.
This is the thing about when you get to the Elite Eight and even the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and then Final Four. Like, this is the big boys and girls, folks. I think sometimes you have a lot of these upsets in the Cinderella business in the beginning parts of the bracket, but there is a reason that Illinois was like the number one. I mean, like, there's a reason. Like, it's almost like playing an Olympian, right? Like, they are super good. So I still think it was a great run by
the Bears. It was, I mean, it was good. It was their sixth straight Sweet 16.
Exactly.
So it's,
that's saying something.
It's good for the program and everything. It's just obviously after last year, they had higher expectations.
So what's going to be next for the program at U of H? I know there's been a whole lot of conversation this week.
Well, so far, Kelvin Sampson has indicated that he is back for next year.
Good.
Okay. The roster is changing. There's, I think, 7 players not going to be part of the team.
Are we
Where are they
out?
Going? Are they graduating?
Some are graduating, some are transferring, and some are going to the NBA draft.
Transfer portal.
Yeah.
BS.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way.
Isaiah Hartwell is one of the ones.
Don't say
that's
the names because I won't like these people. I know.
Never mind. I'll bleep that out.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's terrible that they.
Yeah.
Can do
I mean,
that.
But also it's like, do you have no loyalty? Do you have.
They
I mean,
don't.
Like people. Well, and this is what people don't understand. You
didn't
do not become.
Me back to Bregman.
Well, you don't become a dynasty by just skipping and hopping around every 5 minutes. That's not how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that UConn and Duke, even, I can't believe I said that, Arizona, you know, and all these schools, because people stay. The coaches stay. The players stay. That's how you gel.
To a certain extent, but like Duke has always has a plethora of talent that comes through. So they recruit so well.
Yeah.
And they have Cooper Flagg go be there for 1 year. And he's such a dominant player. Of course, he leaves for the NBA, number one pick and all that. But they just replenish so easily in recruiting.
But I think what people, it's a long game, right? So I think what people understand, the reason that they do is because people stayed historically. So I think what we're seeing set up is that hardly any school will be able to have that sort of dynasty. Mm-hmm. Like, and let's talk about Arizona versus Duke, but it's fine. because people keep leaving. Anyway, let's move on. We're sorry, U of H.
And we're sorry, Horns.
Next year.
But maybe. The women are in the Final Four. So.
UT?
Longhorn women.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at that.
They're very good. They're
Same
very, very
teams
good.
Teams as last
Can
year.
They beat the Rockets? What do you think? No.
The Rockets?
The Rockets. They're not playing the Rockets.
I mean, they could. Exhibition game? You don't know.
Well, maybe.
No.
But speaking of women's basketball.
No offense to them, but no.
Speaking of women's basketball. Comets are coming home, so let's talk about this. This is so big.
Are they going to be called the Comets again?
They are going to be called the Comets.
Wow.
And
that's a
three
smart
of
move.
The original Comets were on the floor the other night at the Rockets game.
Oh, really?
The day that they announced
Yeah, Legends
they were doing
Night.
This.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent.
It was fantastic. I mean, people were screaming for them. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
So what's happening? So give
so
us the
Telen Fertitta's company is buying the Connecticut Sun and moving the team to Houston under the Comets name in 2027, which is next year. The original Houston Comets won 4 consecutive WNBA championships between 97 and 02 before folding in 08, having not won since. Mm. However, because we're such a great town, we just collapsed on them. Mm-hmm. Experts say this team is poised to be successful in Houston, given the existing fan and corporate support. People are going crazy that they're coming.
Well, and what a great time considering the surge in support for women's sports in general, but basketball in particular.
Especially women's basketball. I mean, it's so exciting.
And with what they were able to do with the new CBA that they just agreed to.
Oh, yeah. So they changed the pay. So what's the minimum? It's like $1 million or something crazy?
It's something. It's a lot more.
It's like 10 times what they were making.
The minimum is like what it was to be the high tier,
no,
you know,
$1 million it's, or like 1.5 or something like that,
and the revenue share and everything, like it's a huge boon for
I
the
just
WNBA.
Think this is so good. I think this is so good, and I think see this kind of sports story makes me happy because I think this is how you start to really build some momentum, like you said, from the existing fan support, corporate support. I think it's going to be exciting, like, you know, just an exciting time in the city. So, yay!
So we want to talk about a little bit about what's happened in Houston the last 2 weeks. Like we just had an extraordinary experience, and certainly last week with the Astros opening day, Sweet 16 here in Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Open, which Jim Crane is committed to taking to one of the top PGA circuit.
Yep, I was there.
You know, tournaments. He says that
it was great.
Next year they're going to have 16 instead of 8, and we're going to be one, which is fantastic. And CERAWeek, which is the biggest oil and gas industry event. You were there too, right?
Yep, I went for it.
I mean, it was just, excuse me, but a hell of a week, which closed basically with Tillman announcing the Comets. And let's talk a little bit from baseball boyfriend Scott about the Astros last week. And I quote,
oh God, you don't, you know, he gets this too
it's
many
not
pages.
Too long.
That's
it's
too
not,
many pages.
It's because it's all in
magical.
25 point. I, 25 font. I promise.
This,
I read it out loud. It's 60 seconds at the most.
Minutes. Okay.
The Astros finished their first homestand 5-2. With only 4% of the season in the books, it is way too early to make predictions or to spot trends. So let me make a few observations. This is baseball boyfriend Scott, not me. So listen. The Astros defense may be really, really good. Their six-headed monster of an infield has four all-stars and four players who have either gold gloves or were gold glove finalists. There are three young players in the outfield, Smith, Matthews, and Loperfido, who have the ability to join Jake Myers as elite defenders.
She's still on page one.
Two, it has been said that quantity has a quality all its own. And after a busy offseason, the Astros have a lot of good pitching. Hunter Brown and perhaps Brian Abreu may be their only true stars, but solid pitching depth looks to be an Astros strength. If Lance McCullers has regained his touch and Josh Hader comes off the IL, watch out. The Astros are emphasizing patience. Am I 2 minutes yet? No. The Astros are emphasizing patience at the plate. Will it pay off? After an opening day where the 26 Astros looked a lot like the 25 Astros, the offense looks strong in the rest of the homestand.
Doing a lot of raising the roof today.
The one observation that doesn't need to be preliminary or hedged in any way, your Don Alvarez is back with a capital B, capital A, capital C, capital K. The current road trip, which will be the longest of the year,
will be
a test. Let's see what the 26 Astros look like when they return to Daikin Park on April 14th.
And that's our entire sports segment because
it
she just
not.
Talked for 3 minutes.
1 minute.
No, it wasn't.
It was a big nothing burger. So let's go on to what we haven't said yet. We've
so FIFA World Cup.
We're at
the time of this recording, we're 70 days away exactly.
Yes.
So that's happening.
Yes.
Starting in June.
$55 million upgrades to NRG. New video boards, seating, roof replacement, elevators, escalator, all the things before June. And they're changing the name of it to Houston Stadium. And the Texans are out of it the whole summer, basically, which is interesting.
Right.
There's going to be a huge Edo, which means east of downtown, in case you don't
know. It's kind of like Bio.
Fan festival, 39-day free public zone near Shell Energy Stadium, live music, global food, viewing parties, 15,000 viewers a day, visitors expected, unbelievable. Texans were evicted, but the big thing that
she's really
got left
she's
out of this, because I think it's really incredible.
What's that?
This 14-mile-long green space that's being built by our city, which we've been talking about connecting the parks and the trails since I've been here for 20-some-odd years.
Of course.
It's been discussed.
It's happening.
It's happening, and it'll be done for this.
Isn't it amazing how people can get it in gear when there's, like,
they
people
still have
coming?
Not fixed the light
no,
bulbs
okay,
over
we're gonna,
59.
This, okay, we need to take
I
a
guarantee
break.
You it'll be done by then.
Oh, of course.
I bet you.
Well, this is why we get pissed off. Local officials, because you can do it quickly. Because you do it quickly when it's something like this. You just don't do it quickly when you don't have visitors coming.
When it's and, a regular Tuesday.
Yeah, and we think that's B and S. But all right, we need to take a break.
We do. Okay.
We'll be back.
Bye. Just the two of us. We can make it if we
try. Just the two of us. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
And we're back.
Hi!
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson,
better and better
Bowman Lombardi, all the things. Fashionista, bio babe, meaning biography, not biology. And Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline, here with my beautiful, brilliant bestie. I'm not going to go hard on the black. Bossy. I'm going hard on the bossy right now. Co-host. Go for it.
Siobhana Roberts-Robert, the other half of Culture Club HX. I'm going to start with the fact that I'm the parliamentarian, so y'all are welcome. I'm also the executive producer.
Did not work.
She has to say something.
Well, it doesn't work.
We can bet on that, too, on that little market I was telling
She's
you about.
She's betting on me a lot. But
I'm betting on all the things that happen that you say, that's not going to happen, then happens. Anyway, executive producer, Eighth Wonder of the World of Culture Club HX, but we're here with a super special guest today. Another one. Who's here?
We are. My friend, Alicia Jansen, and I'm going to do the bio babe with a few embellishments. Alicia
Embellishments
Jansen,
or additions?
Both. Award-winning marketer, business leader, executive coach, and author of Awaken Your Joy, a guided journal to unleashing the life you love, and stalkie of me. Seriously. Oh, I stalked her and made her be my friend. With more than 25 years, yes, you do, in corporate leadership, Alicia's built and led highly performing teams for global brands like HP, MD Anderson, and Cisco.
That's where y'all met, right? When you were at Anderson, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Today, she was talking about doing the red stripe or something through cancer, and I leaned over the person in the middle of us who was very sensitive to me doing that.
Of course.
And possessive and all the things.
You
and
needed
I said,
a parliamentarian.
You have to know me, is I think what I said. You have to be my friend, something like that. I don't know, but she did.
Okay,
so anyway,
good.
Today she's the founder of the Jedi Group, where she helps leaders and organizations unlock growth through strategy, mindset, and purpose-driven leadership. A recognized woman of influence in Houston, which is a big deal here in Houston, and a national speaker, Alicia is passionate about helping people reconnect with joy, step into their potential, and build lives that align with who they truly are. So, you want to ask or should I?
I do, but I have a question before the question. Who am I acting like? Tell me about how you came up with the name of your company, Jedi. I was doing my Jedi like movement
just
over
guess.
Here. But tell me.
Well, Jedi, you are absolutely right when you started doing the hand movements because I am a Star Wars fan. Mm. But Jedi stands for Jansen Enterprise Development Interest.
Well, look at that.
Because it is a group of companies underneath this to help with coaching and consulting and inspiration.
Right.
But may the force be with you, because my faith is strong, and that's another reason why it's called Jedi. For those that understand the Jedi mind meld, that's what inspired me to call it Jedi.
I love it. So when I worked in radio in Tucson, I worked with someone who legally changed their name to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, my God!
Literally.
Oh,
no. And I didn't believe him because, you know me, I'm like, show me your ID. He literally did. Anyway, well, thank you so much for being here with us today.
She has the dogs.
Yes. In fact, my dog's name, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Super cute. Yeah. So tell us about this journey, because it's not so typical to go from a marketer, leadership, development, learning person in corporations to a published author of a book about joy, a journal about joy. So how did this all happen?
Well, marketing and communication, I think, is just ingrained in my brain. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever will leave it. It is, I believe, one of the gifts that God gave me. But another gift that he gave me was curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious about learning and problem solving. So when I left corporate America, I thought, how do I get curious about using my talent or my wisdom, my lessons in a different way? And that's why I've got corporate clients who want to hire me, because I've been there and done that.
Yes.
But the other lesson that I learned was about resilience and intentional choices. Because I realized that I wanted to make more choices in my life, professionally and personally, that were going to drive more joy and happiness. I kind of became a neuroscience nerd, really curious about how human behavior and the mindset connects. So from there, that's how this book was percolating in my soul.
And I'm going to talk out of turn, of course, because that's what
surprise,
I do.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, it's what I do. And because
that's a gift God gave her.
It is.
And I think it's really important to share, and you can say you don't want to, but the fact that personal challenges led you a lot too. I mean, I think you are one of the strongest people I know, certainly one of the smartest. And I don't know that you wouldn't have kept charging toward reinventing yourself as you already were instead of as you are now, had you not had some things stop you along the way.
You know, everybody, I believe, has the ups and downs in life, mm-hmm. personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And I learned at an early age what resilience was all about, even though at a young age, I didn't know what that word meant.
Right. You just were living it. Yeah,
just
doing it.
I just knew that my grandmother said, today we're going to get up and we're going to move forward. And so I learned from other strong women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that resilience has come forward with me. I always think about, similar to your what's next, it's yes, I can. I can get up today and have the right attitude. I can today choose joy. I can choose intentional choices that are going to influence me professionally and personally.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went through the ups and downs personally and professionally, mm-hmm. I realized that this book that's percolating in me is not something new, because when I did some homework around this, I realized that people often said to me, well, I can tell you everything I don't want, but give me a minute to think about what I do want.
Isn't that interesting?
I think we're all like that.
Not me. I know exactly what I want. Well, no, I'm the only child over here.
To just pause and say, you are very unusual.
I know this. Yeah.
I mean, you know this.
I do.
I mean, not many 4-month-olds looked at a camera like you did.
I know.
I mean,
right?
This girl's been jumping out of her skin since she was born. Seriously.
I know, it's so bizarre.
And with jumping out of your skin with intention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, not so many people, most people don't do that.
We talked about this at the salon.
Yes.
So, yes, this is absolutely right.
Yes.
So, then, question, when we think about this idea of intentionality and joy, so what prompted you to write Awaken Your Joy, and who did you write it for? Did you have a person, a persona marketer in mind?
Well, when I thought about resilience, thought about my own journey and trying to decide what is my next adventure, mm-hmm. it really needed to be based off of intentional choices.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, part of my desire was getting back to basics. What do I really want out of life, personally, professionally? How do I shape the dreams that are totally different than I was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm older and wiser. But it also was, how do I get there? And how do I sustain it? I just don't want to dream, but I want framework on how to get there. And I'll tell you another God thing. In my consulting world, I met another woman named Andrea Davis, who is a professional coach in positive psychology. And she and I had a conversation on vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And she was contemplating her dreams, too. So that's how the book was written and born. Two people who came together and said, if it's going to help us, it's probably going to help somebody else, too.
Well, this happened at our salon this week. We had the Queen Bees on, Kim and Catherine, and they said that they made their spirit for them first. Really, it was for them. And then to your very point, like you said, if it's going to help us and there are other people like us, that it can probably help also. I love
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when we thought about who would benefit from this book, it's going to be people who truly do want to choose more joy and happiness in their lives. Now, a lot of people may differ on what the definitions are of those two things.
Yeah, what's your definition?
For me, happiness is about this external, fleeting, almost a temporary feeling based off of something positive. Like, for example, I was driving around in my neighborhood and I came across my favorite soap and fragrance shop. And I turned the car around, went in there and bought this lavender soap that I love. And I was so happy that I was going to be able to smell like lavender the next time I take a shower.
Yeah.
But joy, on the other end, is something that's more intrinsic. Mm-hmm. It's more contemplative. It's something that gives me contentment regardless of my
external
circumstances.
Yeah. That's good.
I love going out in nature and seeing the flowers and listening to the birds because it grounds me.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what's going on in my life, I can always get grounded by walking outside.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to basics and started thinking about this for my own life, I realized that if you are looking for a framework of how to define your dreams, how to redefine them, recreate them personally and professionally, and you want a framework on how to get there and how to sustain it,
mm-hmm.
then this book will help you. Because it's based in neuroscience and positive psychology,
mm-hmm.
the education and inspiration that you will have will stick.
Mm-hmm. And it's a workbook.
right? It is a guided journal.
So, I mean,
it's a guided journal.
Well, and to the point, Lovely, you made at the salon, I think it's something super important to mention. This is not a one and done. You don't set, you know, okay, this is what I want, and then you never have to revisit it in your life. I mean, right? I mean, now, you talked about this, right?
Some people need to revisit it hourly. I mean, I hate to say that, but the fact is, like, you can make a decision of what brings you joy 1 minute, and the next minute, it may not, depending on circumstances, all the things. You have to always pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people who could never, I could probably always tell you what I didn't want. I'm trying to remember when I figured out what I did want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably been 20 or 25 years ago.
25 minutes ago?
No. But hilarious. The fact was, I mean, that there was a concrete thing that was going to bring me joy.
Yes.
And, something that will always bring me joy, but there's a lot of other stuff.
That bring you happiness, right?
Yeah.
And I think your point is valid in that some of the reasons why it is difficult, I think, for lots of folks to figure out what they want, what brings them joy versus happiness, is because you have all of these external forces and voices telling you what you should want.
Yes.
Which should make you joyful. And, and so some of it is just sorting through, like, okay, I know what everyone is saying, but what do I actually
That's so hard, too.
I think that's why it's difficult.
People need to accept that that's difficult.
I tell people this all the time, and I know, Alicia, you were going to double-click on this point, but I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, this is why I ask people, how do you feel? Like, that's one of my most favorite questions, because I think when people tap into how they feel, they can start to unravel some of these deeper questions, because it's not just, oh, yeah, that's great. It's like, how do you feel about it? Does it make you feel? That's a like soul level thing, not just I'm supposed to feel happy because this thing happened.
Right.
So go ahead.
I have a client who, as I took her through the framework of the book, she is in corporate America. She wants to change industries. And one of the things that we really dove into was understanding about what does your life look like, regardless of the definitions of what corporate America's told you success looks like, regardless of what your environment maybe was. If you had intentional choices of making your dreams come true, what is that and how does it make you feel? Because how you feel drives your mindset. Your mindset's driving your momentum, and your momentum drives your motivation. So if you get to the point of really deep dive into your soul to say, what is it that I really want out of life? Today, she's brave enough and courageous enough to apply for jobs in a different industry and consider relocating to a place in the country that celebrates her lifestyle and her values.
Interesting.
And it was a combination of what do you want versus what do you think everybody else wants.
And what do you think you can get?
That's the other part.
Right, and then also believing. It's one thing to have the knowledge, but you have to believe that you can get there, too.
Absolutely.
And that's based off of how you feel.
Alicia, when you started this project, did you envision what success looked like? And if so, what did you see? And if not, what do you envision now that you have a published book?
When we wrote this book, we had two objectives. And the first one was pretty simple. Just write it.
Get it done.
Get it done. A lot of times taking that first step is the most difficult, and it holds people back. So our desire was, if the lessons we've learned, the tips, the inspiration, the encouragement, the framework, if working for us, we know it can work for others. So that was our first objective, was to get it out there. And the second objective was to be able to use this as a framework in our coaching business. Because the client story that I just told you, I had another client that I took her through this framework. She is retiring and doesn't know what to do next. She's afraid her mind's going to go to mush. She doesn't she doesn't think she's going to find joy and purpose in her new adventure. So through this framework, it redefined in her heart and her head about what success looked like that would give her joy every day and purpose every single day. So what we want to do is a second edition, because the feedback that we've gotten from this has been incredible. They want more of that inspiration and education. So that's coming this summer. In addition to merchandise that's going to keep that motivation going, like bookmarks and notepads
and eyelid tattoos, Lovely favorite.
Of course, and tattoos across your eyelids.
But
the other thing that came out of this, which we didn't realize until after we got the book out there, was another dream. My business partner is a mom and grandmother, and she witnesses how youth today shapes their ideas of success and self-esteem and confidence. So a children's book is on the horizon.
Oh, how fun. Fantastic. I love that because I have grandchildren.
Well, and also I think to the point we were making earlier, it the earlier you start understanding who you are, what you want, the better it'll help you navigate life. I mean, because part of, I think, not having tools like this younger is you have to deconstruct all the crap before you get to, okay, what do I actually want?
Right.
So to have a children's book is great because then Selma, you know, could read. I mean, think about that, right? And like to have,
no doubt,
to already be, before you get to middle school, having some sort of, even though it would be more simplistic, of course, age appropriate, but a framework of how do you think through what you want? How do
exactly.
you think through what your values are versus your friends and not let that discourage you from pursuing whatever it is you want to do? I think that's huge.
So we have another question, which is obvious, which is what's next, which you've just
Nexter.
Told us. Another book.
Well, you second know,
part
edition
two
to this
of this
one.
Book.
And children's.
And children's awesome. Books.
Right.
Can I throw it?
Of course. No, you
and
can.
And she has
of course.
Another question.
Of course, she has two more. This is her. This is lovely.
This is an aside, and it really has nothing to do with this.
Of course.
But my good friend here is a twice published author. She is part of another best-selling book. For the workplace, really, correct?
That is correct.
Just let's give us a plug.
Okay. This book was interesting. It came about because there are a ton of smart business people, and you guys, all three of us in this room, this women, and it made this Peter Remington realize that we really have a collective voice here that can help other
entrepreneurs.
People.
It was all entrepreneurs, correct. Yes.
Coming forward to give advice on business success, purpose, and power.
That's great.
And my chapter, as you would imagine, is based on how a mindset can transform and transcend your definition of success.
Yes.
And so it did become a bestseller. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to actually take that chapter that I wrote and turn it into a book, incorporate that into my coaching business and consulting business, and be able to have another book out there that inspires people to think outside themselves and redefine what they want out of life. But your mindset is truly one of the most powerful things that you can have in success, because if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can.
That's always been my mantra.
It's the truth.
But, okay,
well, one
I got
thing,
another one.
Of course. Well, one thing on that, you know, this is why people talk a lot, and we've talked about this, about leadership in general, macro. And what I like to talk about is self-leadership. You cannot lead anybody well, your family, your kids, your colleagues, unless you lead yourself well first. And part of what you're talking about, the mindset, the understanding of what you want, who you are, where you're going, you have to do that first. Otherwise, it's a bunch of BS, because people can tell if you're telling them to do something that you're not even doing. A three-year-old can sniff that out.
So exactly.
I think that's so important, the mindset.
The mindset, and also of setting intentions.
Mm-hmm.
A practical tip that we have in this book is what... It's called the to be list. And it's about setting your intentions for the day on who you want to be, how you want to show up before you start the to do list. So my intention today was I intend to be authentic on this podcast. I intend to surround myself with inspirational people. So I'm going to show up a certain way. So when I show up for me, I define who I am. I love myself and what I can bring to the table. It's not going to be defined by my external circumstances, because those are going to change.
That's right.
I want to be something that has a more solid foundation.
I'm going to add, you know, I have all kinds of practices, as everyone knows probably by now, but I'm going to add that because obviously I have a to-do list, but I don't have a daily to-be list, but I do now.
Oh, boy.
Get
I'm
ready.
So excited.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I have
though,
nothing
right?
to read from her. You know, like, but.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
My
please.
Last question.
Yes.
Maybe not, but close to. How do you do this? Like, how do you do this physically? What is the process?
What's the process?
Of
that's a good
writing
question.
A book? Do you sit down 2 hours every day? Do you have a schedule? Do you walk around with your phone dictating? How do you do it?
all the above.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell you the truth, for me, I'm one of these type of people that I really thrive in collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So when my business partner and I decided we were going to do this, we agreed that we would spend 2 hours a week together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would do our homework and come back together. So we were writing chapters. We were writing inspiration, encouragement, doing our research on positive psychology and neuroscience. It took us about 8 months to get it done.
Well, that's what I've heard. Eight is kind of early, because like you said, the power of collaboration. But 8 months to, you know, a year and a half.
Or to never. I mean, most of the people I'm serious.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yes.
I'm never doing this.
Fair.
That's why I'm asking. Like, I'm not asking because I plan
no,
to do
but
it
this
because
is a good
I
question.
Know I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Because
you're not.
I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
but that's
not.
A good question for people who are listening who do feel like they might want to. At least they can kind of understand the framework.
And that's enough. You have to know enough about yourself as to what motivates you to take that next step. Mm-hmm. And it really is just that next step. For me, I know I do better when I work in groups and teams. Mm-hmm. I'm motivated, I'm inspired, and it just comes pouring out of me. Now, if I was sitting in my home office all by myself and trying to do this, it would be 6 years from now before you see something.
Right.
I feel the same.
Well, one thing that you said earlier that I'll go back to, because I think it's important for people who are listening, you talked about nature. And I think it's so, I'm one of these people, I literally am in people's lawn smelling their roses. Like, I must stop literally and smell the roses kind of person. And I do think for all of us, nature has this grounding, mind clearing effect. You just feel better. Remember, you took a walk.
Absolutely.
You just feel better.
Yes, you do.
So I think whether you write that way and you walk around and dictate, or you just do that before you sit down for any creative pursuit, just a few minutes outside in nature, I feel like that gives you, that supercharges the
it
entire
is.
Effort, creative
you,
effort.
You have to get grounded before you start something like this, because our message is not just for you personally, but to your point that you made, it's about leadership, it's about team building, it's about corporations going to the next level, but it's also about you personally being in the right space
mm-hmm.
in order to be successful.
Yeah, and be of service. You know, look, I feel like Levy, you have given me your spirit today. Because I'm like, I have one more thing to say, and then we're going to ask people where they can find you. I do think, to me, and this is a little bit woo-woo, but just go with me here, and it's a bit esoteric, but I think the most successful people are the people who really do see what they're doing in service to others. So the grounding, the knowing who you are, yes, you're going to benefit, but also when you think about it more, lovely, I see you, when you think about it more comprehensively and like beyond yourself, that's when the juice, I think, and the magic happens, because it is bigger than you. And so you open yourself up to receive that help and that support from something greater than you. And it just accelerates whatever it is that you're up to. That's my, y'all are welcome. Okay, I'm back to reality now. I went up, I levitated a bit.
You go up and
I was
pull
like,
you back down by only saying one thing. When you give of yourself, you're giving it away, which is awesome, because you're helping somebody else be the best that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of everybody's purposes, I think, as a human.
Yeah.
Is how can I help you be the best that you can be, because somebody's poured into me.
Correct.
And now I want to be able to pour back into
reciprocity.
You. Absolutely.
So where can people learn more about you, find your books, all the things?
The book is on Amazon, and it soon will be on BarnesandNoble.com and Walmart.com. And that's the best place to go. My website's still under construction, so that's where you'll also be able to find it. There's also on my business partner's Elevated Solutions with an 8, Infinity 8.
Oh, look at that. My favorite number. I like her already.
Keep going. That's where you can find it as well.
So the name of the book one more time for folks that are going to go search.
Awaken Your Joy, A Guided Journal to Unleashing the Life You Love.
Thank you so much, Alicia. This has been fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Lovely. Are we ready?
I'm done.
Oh, wow. See? The Lord provides. All right. Well, we'll take a break.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies.
Of course.
Come on out tonight. And we'll lead the others on a ride through paradise.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super. You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew, or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
It's Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back.
Hi.
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista, bio babe, meaning biography, not biology. Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who never walked a sideline and probably never will. Co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with my beautiful, brilliant, bestie, black, so black, and bossy.
You're welcome.
Well, that's people have been dropping their mouths when I say that.
When you say black, I know it makes
it
me laugh.
It scares them.
I am black.
Is what that
I mean, yeah,
hello.
I know. I'm like,
we
hi,
know
it's
that,
me,
don't we?
It's
yeah.
me over here. She's talking about me. Like, it's weird. It's very bizarre.
You.
I know people get nervous.
It's
fine.
Crazy.
They get nervous.
We had a salon this past week, and I mean, I think I said it three times, and like.
Their eyes are like big, and yeah. I just giggle because
well, all
like,
the black girls want to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
you
know, it's like I am black.
Excuse me.
It's
you know,
a descriptor.
This is the whole essence of our relationship, in a sense.
In a sense. But anyway,
you
Siobhan,
are bossy.
What, not true. Siobhana Robert Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, and the parliamentarian.
Which never works.
But today
okay.
we have a special guest. It's really not about the two of us.
It really isn't about the two of us. I am so, so excited.
Come on, biography babe.
We're going to be
Who's
joined
here?
By Jenny Todd, Vice President of Greater Texas for the American Cancer Society. In case anyone has missed it, I'm her
oh,
board
God.
Chair.
No one's missed
Grateful
it.
Grateful board chair. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be here with you lovely
Who's
ladies.
Who's bossy? Can we start with that? That's our first. I'm just joking.
Am I bossy?
I think it's Siobhana. No.
Can you read
no,
the bio?
It is Siobhana.
It's
hot
Siobhana.
Dog. Hot
you are,
dog.
You are very well managed.
Hot dog.
Yes.
Can you
take direction, Will.
You can come every week, Jenny.
Oh, please. Read the rest of her bio.
I will. Jenny's a Houston native. She leads development efforts across the state, overseeing more than $16 million in annual fundraising to support cancer research, patient services, and advocacy. With more than 20 years of experience, she did really start at 11. She's known for building strong teams and driving real impact across the community. Her connection to this work is personal, inspired by her late grandmother, and it fuels her mission to improve the lives of those affected by cancer here in Houston and across Texas. And I have to say, I think a little bit of Bob Bowman inspires you also.
Well, we love sweet Bob.
I know.
We miss him every day.
I know.
So Jenny. Yeah, thank you so much again for being with us. So I know this work is inspired by your grandmother, which I think is super special. So tell us a little bit more about how you came to lead ACS Houston.
Well, Siobhana, I wish there was a really great story leading up to this, but I'll say it was just a lot of
you
years
just walked
of hard
in.
Yeah, I just walked in. Years of hard work. You know, I've done this since college, actually. I've been in development since college, and I love
awesome.
It when I interview and meet people these days, and they're talking about their careers and getting into nonprofit, and they say, well, I went to school for this, and I've had this internship, and I have this great life plan, and I just think, man, I wish I had it together like that at this age.
Me neither.
But, you know, it's something that's just kind of developed over time, and I feel so blessed to have this opportunity to lead this organization. Truly, even though I've been doing this for over 20 years, the American Cancer Society is just it for me.
That's awesome.
I love the work that we do, specifically the patients and the caregivers that we get to serve. So it's really my great honor.
That's so good.
So I have a question.
Sure.
I need to use it myself. What are three facts about ACS Houston that most people might not know?
Oh, so many good things to share here. I know
but
you know
have to say
answers.
Three.
I have to say three.
Yeah.
I don't.
The three best.
The three best. Okay, the biggest thing, I would say that people don't understand the impact the American Cancer Society has had on their lives in all of the facets. Mm-hmm. And just to like briefly touch on it, you know, why do we not smoke in Houston anymore? I remember being in my 20s, people still smoking bars.
Oh, my God.
Bars.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yeah.
We advocated for that work, for the government to pass, you know, no smoking bans. We make sure that just on the advocacy side, because I think not many organizations do that piece,
right.
We're making sure that the treatments that we have, that we've developed, are available to those who need them when and where they need it. So biomarker testing this past year, you know, we worked hard at the state level to get that legislation passed. So making sure that people have access to that care. That's so important. And we're doing all that work behind the scenes, and we've been doing it. We've been around over 113 years. So the impact that we've had in the fight against cancer is really immeasurable. I mean, we funded the mammogram, the pap smear, the HPV vaccine, all of the incredible
tamoxifen,
all this incredible research that's led to the treatments that we have available today. So I would say great.
That's number one.
Yeah, number
that's
one.
That's huge.
The impact we're having on people's lives that they're totally
just day to day that they're not, like the no smoking thing. That's so,
right.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so all kinds of things like that mm-hmm. I could share, the impact we're having on their lives. Two, I would say the amount we're investing in Houston is so incredible. You know, as Lisa knows, and this kind of changes day to day depending on the grant cycle, but we're investing over $20 million right here wow. in Houston locally. So primarily through cancer research at every major yes. institution here, mm-hmm. but then also our Hope Lodge facility where we're yes. offering people can come if they're coming to Houston for treatment, which you know so many people do mm-hmm. to the Texas Medical Center. People can stay at our Hope Lodge free of charge. So just the impact that we're having here in Houston locally.
And that's across the board. I just want to yeah. inject a little bit and say one of our team leaders, one of our senior development associates, mm-hmm. father-in-law was at Hope Lodge right when I joined the organization. Mm-hmm. Well, right, yeah, like mm-hmm. 5 years ago. And then he survived a long time too, which is great.
One other thing, and Lovely, you talk about this all the time, and Jenny, I think it goes along with the $20 million invested. Is it for every $1, six gets invested? Isn't it something like that? Like the match is incredible. So right. how does it work exactly?
Well, it depends on the year, but essentially.
Generally speaking,
mm-hmm. we're investing five times more here yes, than what we're raising locally. So depending on the year, this coming year, our goal is going to be about $8 million here mm-hmm. in Houston, but we're going to end up investing about $25 million back into the Houston
community. That's huge.
Community.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so that's two. So what's the third one?
That's two. Man, what's the third one? Probably just our research investment I find to be so incredible. We are the largest funder of research outside the federal government.
That is
so
incredible.
We have invested over $1 billion in research since 1946. And I know I just shared a few of the things, but, you know, people always ask, and I know Lisa always talks about this, is what are we doing here in Houston? But it's really about the research mm-hmm. and the treatments that we're helping to develop.
Yes.
Because trust me, you're not going to care where you live or where that research was done when you need the treatment or when right. your child needs that treatment.
That's correct.
So just us continuing to advance on that research front is so critical.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'll take that.
That'll do. Okay.
That's good to know.
So, Lovely, do you want to go? Do you have another question? Do you want me
to go? I was just going to say, how do we measure up to the national organization? Where do we rank as a chapter here in Houston?
And to double click on that, so part B, where do we rank here? But then also, how does it all work? So we are the local affiliate, but then there's obviously national ACS. So how do you work together?
So we're really one and the same.
Okay.
We're just the footprint here in Houston, the people mm-hmm. you're seeing day to day. But we do have a CEO nationally who we report into.
So
we really operate as one organization. We're just the footprint here in Houston. And as far as how we rank, I mean, Lisa knows we have the best board of directors.
The best.
For the American Cancer Society.
Everybody's talking about us. We have the best board of directors. We have the best young professionals program. One of the best in the country.
I don't know the other ones, but I can vouch that ours is really good.
That's true. We are the fastest growing YP event for the American Cancer Society globally.
Shut cancer.
And it is such an incredible event. I feel. And the people we have involved there, as you ladies know, just they're so incredible. The work they're doing, the visibility they're bringing to our mission and to the organization in Houston is so valuable.
I mean, once again, I'm going to go back to you cannot find a person who's not affected by cancer. I mean, there's lots of families that aren't affected by other diseases, mm-hmm. but there's no one not affected one way or another by cancer.
Yeah.
And it is the universal disease, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my family disease was heart for years until suddenly somebody got cancer, you know, which happens eventually.
Yeah, it's the unfortunate
truth. Yeah, it is. It is. So I want to know what her favorite part of leading the organization is other
and
than
don't
being
say
with me.
Managing the board and working
managing
with Lisa.
Managing Lisa, obviously.
Hello, parliamentarian number two.
It's really the people. And it isn't just the board. It is just the people, period. Mm-hmm. I feel so energized by our board of directors is incredible. I can't say enough about it. The volunteers we have, we're leading Cattle Baron's Ball, Shut Cancer, Holiday Shopping Card, Men Wear Pink, the Tickled Pink Luncheon. The volunteers are incredible, but also our staff. I mean, I've been doing this 23 years, and we have the best team in Houston.
I agree.
Man, don't let anyone else hear this interview. Hey, but, you know, I supervise the state now, and it just really gives me more visibility into our Houston team is so incredible. So I just think it's the people and the lives we get to touch. You know, I was at Hope Lodge earlier today and getting to see her patients and caregivers. Phillips 66 was actually there doing bingo with them.
Oh, great.
So just getting to interact with those big community partners like Phillips 66 and the patients we're serving is just so meaningful.
So the fact now that you're managing all of the state means that the entire state will lift up to that leadership level. So that's even better.
It is. Well, that's what my boss is hoping.
Right. That's what they said. So let's talk a bit about community partners just for one second. So Phillips 66, I think that's something else that people don't realize. I think they hear ACS and they think, you know, direct person-to-person contribution in institutions, medical institutions, but not industry. So talk to us a bit about how you partner with large organizations like Phillips and other industries.
Yeah, so in addition to our board of directors, we also have something called the CEO Chapter Against Cancer. And this is a national board that we have in most major metro areas. So we have one here, we have one in Dallas. And we are so fortunate to have so many incredible CEOs here in Houston who sit on that chapter. Mark is the Phillips 66 CEO, so he's who we were with earlier today, but they are doing such incredible work for us as an organization. So just Phillips 66, for example, you know, they come out to Hope Lodge, they volunteer with our patients and caregivers, they volunteer at our events, they give us corporate grants. So most recently, they gave us two vans at Hope Lodge.
That's right.
So we now have vans running consistently back and forth to the Texas Medical Center to take our patients to and from appointments. As you guys
know, fantastic.
The parking there is outrageous, right? And especially for someone going through treatment, hospital bills, hotel stays. So now
it's super expensive, too.
It is. It's very
expensive. That's the thing. It's like,
so number one,
it's outrageous in that it's confusing. And then it's outrageous in that it's expensive. Yeah. So that's great.
Number one cause of medical bankruptcy is a cancer diagnosis. So us being able just to offer that additional support of here's a ride to your appointment is really a huge investment on for Phillips 66 and does so much meaningful work for our folks at Hope Lodge. So all that to say, Shivana, is we partner with those organizations that really align with what we're doing here. I mean, HEB is another great example.
But, without a doubt. And, cancer, curing cancer is a huge economic development issue.
It's everybody.
Agree. It's expensive for the employer and the employee. So we have a lot of support about that. So we have some really exciting upcoming events and, you know, all year long. So I want you to tell us about them and especially the first, foremost, most important.
According to lovely.
Whatever Lisa's involved.
That's what I said. According to lovely.
Well, we do have our Tickled Pink Luncheon coming up, which we are so excited about. Friday, April 24th at the Post Hoc Hotel. For our listeners, it is actually the largest luncheon for the American Cancer Society globally. So our goal this year is $750,000, and we're on track to hit that. So we'd love for people to come out and join us.
Please come.
How do they get tickets? How do they find out more?
TickledPinkLuncheon.org.
Okay, great. So also, if you come, Lovely's going to harass you if you don't wear all pink. Just FYI. She harassed me the first year. I had a white suit and a pink shell, and she was like, you don't have a pink. I'm like, this is pink.
I didn't even see the pink.
I'm like, this is pink. My lipstick. Anyway, so whatever. Tickle Pink. What else?
TicklePinkLuncheon.org. Next, Cattle Baron's Ball.
Oh, my goodness.
So yes. Iconic. Iconic.
It is truly iconic.
Saturday, September 26th, yes. Hilton Americas.
Yes.
Being chaired by Abby Alford and Maria Martinez. We are so excited about it. The New Frontier is our theme this year.
Oh, that's
great.
It's like
great. Next generation New Frontier.
This is her favorite thing, the Nexter over here.
Yeah,
New Frontier. That's
seriously,
awesome.
Yes. I'm really excited because it's opening up this iconic event that's been around for years and years and years to really a bit of a new audience.
So I was going to say, can we expect, for those of us who have gone to Cattle Barons in the past, can we expect some interesting new different activations and things?
Well, we hope so.
Okay. Okay, Maria, no pressure.
We're always trying to refresh the event because obviously, you know, it has been around 50 years.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to do it bigger and better. So the New Frontier, and we are actually announcing our entertainment on Tuesday.
Oh, excellent. It's going to be Post Malone. That's her favorite.
So, oh man, Shivana, don't make promises.
Up there with Jelly Roll.
Is that his name?
No. Jelly Roll's another entertainer. No, I actually love his voice, but I can't.
Oh, Jelly Roll. Is it? Is that his name, though? Magical
Jelly
is
Roll?
It?
No.
Oh, it is
his
Jelly Roll.
His real name is Jelly Roll.
Is it Jellyfish?
No,
not
his real name.
No.
No, it's
what's
not Jellyfish.
It's Jelly Roll.
It's Jelly Roll. That's his stage name. That's
okay.
But he's done Ozempic. I haven't seen the new Jelly Roll, but I heard he's lost.
He's a slim roll.
Several hundred pounds.
What do you call those little sticks?
You know, like he's got his
beef stick
tattoo.
Okay, anyway,
there's
keep going.
A limit.
Okay.
Janet, right. Can you please keep going? Everybody. So Cattle Barons,
September 26th. Check it out.
How do they find out more?
Website, CattleBaronsBallHouston.
.org. Perfect. Okay, what else?
What's next?
Men Wear Pink, right?
Men Wear Pink, which Siobhana is now helping out with.
Get ready, boys.
Yeah, we're excited. Men Wear Pink, month-long campaign to see who can raise the most for breast cancer research and patient services. So
with a golf tournament with that a golf everybody tournament. Loves.
Yes.
Yes. So if you're interested in getting involved, please reach out. Go to our website, menwearpinkhouston.org.
Excellent.
We'd love to get some new guys signed up to help fundraise.
Oh, we will.
Yes.
And so just so you know, my role will be working with the men who are dedicated to this cause to help them be more effective in their fundraising. So boys, buckle up.
Yeah, one thing about Men Wear Pink, which I think is so important, is that not only are they competing for money, they're competing for event. Like, they're all up there doing really fun parties.
Yeah, like Cody at Impinner, yeah. He did a whiskey tasting. It was so fun because they're trying to, you know. And then I had to tell him. So, see, this was meant to be. I'm like, talk to people. Tell them to give you money. He didn't say anything. He made his remarks. I'm like, wait. Don't you want people to give you money? That's, what are you
this
doing?
Is transactional.
I know. I'm like, come on. All right, yeah. So it's going to be
Make
good.
Make it happen. Yeah,
I am going to. And for all of these events, aren't there kickoff parties and things like that that happen? So if folks are going to go, they can go to those websites and then find out not just
all the details.
All of the details about all the events. Because it's not just one event. There are usually multiple things leading up to
the event. Especially Men Wear Pink. We have a lot of different events leading up that we'd love them to come out to. Also running the month of October. If you want to get involved, join the committee. HolidayShoppingCard.com. Go check it out.
Yes.
And then lastly, our Shut Cancer event, which is
November
19th, I believe.
Wow, it's late.
Yes.
Wow.
Last event of the year.
Well, nothing's late for us because we changed our fiscal year.
Yeah. We're doing stuff year round.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I think the long and short of it is if you want to get involved in the American Cancer Society, and the answer is yes, just go with me here, then there are all sorts of activities, there's all sorts of research, there's all sorts of community support that you can contribute to. So go to the web. What's the main website? So people can go
cancer.org.
Cancer.org. You can filter and go to Houston, and then there you will find all of the things.
All kinds of other websites.
Excellent. All right. Final question, because I know you have one, lovely. What? Do you have something? This will be the first. Episode 102. You don't have anything? Wow. Wow.
Okay, Jenny.
Oh, God.
I got it.
Of course.
God, I'm scared.
Close your eyes.
Oh, here we are.
And if you could have one wish
she closed
for
her
ACS
eyes. Sweet.
This year,
I'd be like,
what is it?
Well, of course, it's to cure cancer. But past that, I would really love for us to kill it this year and do above and beyond what we've ever done in all of our efforts. So I know
we need a number, Jenny.
8 million. Let's do 10.
Okay, Houston, you heard it here. The three of us are certainly going to be encouraging you all year long, you know, and
$10 million is our goal, because if we do that, then that's what's the multiple?
It could be 40 or 50 into Houston.
40 to 50 million into Houston. Yeah. I mean, come on, folks. Who can deny that?
I mean, come on.
So cancer.org.
Cancer.org.
Click on Houston, filter down to get all of the 411. Of course,
one more thing.
Of course.
There are so many options out there for people to learn about cancer. But our hotline, our direct line, which is 1-800.
1-800.
It's on the website.
It's on the website.
Go to
1-800-CANCER.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't know how that.
We don't know the exact numbers, but just so you know.
But it's 1-800-CANCER.
Everything you need to know is there.
Mm-hmm.
The latest trials, where they
are. Yes, that's super important.
How you apply. The kind of things that you have to wait hours calling a hospital or a research
or doctor
center
or whatever.
That information is readily available to you. It's the best FAQ or frequently asked questions in the world about cancer. So don't go to Dr. Google. Go to cancer.org.
Right. And we have a 24/7 chat. And if you don't want to make a call, we've got the 1-800 number, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are here for you. And I think that's an actual great point we should finish this up with, because I know we talked about the events, but we're really here not to throw a party. We're here to cure cancer.
Absolutely.
So,
without a doubt. I mean, and you know, it's kind of my byline. I'm not going to say what I really say, but the fact is we have a lot of events, but we're really here to cure cancer and not actually anything else. We're here to cure this four-letter word.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I think we need to go to a break. Jenny, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. I cannot wait for the $10 million announcement.
Okay. We'll be back in a year to celebrate.
You're going
to
come back and be like, this is what we did. Okay.
What a great show, Shabana.
I mean, it really was.
Who might? Is that not your name? The way you just looked at me.
No, because
I thought, what did I just do?
The way you said it was like, you sounded like a chatbot. What a great show, Shabana. I'm like, lovely, are you there? Lovely? Is this lovely?
Lovely has left the room.
She sounds like a chatbot. I'm like, is this a hologram? Is lovely there? I got nervous. Shabana, it is nice to see you. I'm going to say it like
lovely
this.
Lovely has been lifted up.
Lovely has been. It's levitating. Lovely has awakened her joy, and now she's in woo-woo.
I swear to God, we need to do an outtake. One day.
That's why I looked at you like, is she there? Anyway, yes, this was a great show.
She kind of lost herself.
Well, because you were like, do-do-do-do-do.
So, we're great not show. Using that, right?
No, let's use it. It was great.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, so it has been a great show. Lovely. Now that Lovely's back. It's been a great show. We had so many awesome things to talk about. So much is happening in the city. I mean, like you said, last week, so much happened. And then as we roll into April, so much is happening.
Hopefully we're going to cure cancer.
I mean, just so many.
And we're going to turn our lives around.
We're going to do
getting
it.
Uplifted.
We're going to
and
levitate.
Intentional.
We're getting
and
intentional.
Purposeful. And purposeful. And all the things. And
the chat, Magical's losing it. Magical just turned around and looked out the window. This is how you know he's losing it. All right. So what do we
well,
want
that
people...
just means I'm funny.
He had to turn around.
You know, I love that. That means I'm funny. That means everybody
you know
else is going to think so, too.
You know what I didn't tell you? I'm in my yacht rock era.
What is yacht rock?
I don't even know what it is. It's a genre.
I understand it's a genre. I don't know what it's a genre of.
Music.
Yeah, but what does it sound
it's like?
Give me a yacht rock song.
You know, I'll do
is
that.
Is it Frank Sinatra? Is Frank Sinatra
You know, I don't
yacht
think
rock?
He has. No, I don't think he has yacht rock. No.
Okay, so somebody has to play. It's not the tattoo guys, right?
No. But I'll play it for you so you can hear it. Anyway, so but what do we want people to do in addition to levitate? What do we want them to do?
We Magical want you to laughing. Be bold.
Be elegant.
Stay focused.
Stay fit. Summer's coming.
Summer's coming. It's so true. Mm-hmm. Next week, hopefully, Dr. Streitman and what we can do about it.
What else, lady?
Guys, we really want you to stay fabulous.
Please.
Forever and ever.
It would make us
Amen.
Sad if you didn't. All right. And with that, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
And girls, they want to have fun. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.